started to understand that, hey, the data products are something that brings semantic information to data. And that's then the foundation that the AI can do their job. I think this was the momentum where the importance of data products and having a data marketplace really changed dramatically.
Hello and welcome to the Data Culture Podcast. I'm Carsten Bange, founder and CEO of BARC, and with me today is Florian Biegelmeier. And that tells you it's a data festival edition of this podcast again. We invited two speakers from the upcoming data festival, Wolfgang Klein, Director, Data as a Service, and Simeon Rilling, Chief Product Owner for the Data Mesh Ecosystem. They're both at Bosch Digital, and they're driving the data-related IT landscape, including data lakes, data products, and much more for Bosch worldwide. And we heard a lot about what's going on at Bosch, especially around data products. I thought we found very interesting insights, didn't we, Florian?
Yeah, absolutely, Carsten. I mean, Bosch wasn't the situation as many, many big companies. They had like plenty of data already available a few years back, but they were really siloed. And Wolfgang and Simeon were so kind to lead us through their journey, how they took that challenge and made something really great out of it. They talked about data ownership. What does it mean to make data available from a cultural and organizational perspective to the organization? And we also talked about the challenge of data products, or the concept of data products, which is really helpful to them to make really good chunks of data available in the data catalog, in the data marketplace, to make it easy to consume then for the consumers in the end, in the entire Bosch organization, which is huge, as you can imagine. There is a lot more which you talked about, but I think it's time to dive right into our conversation.
Hello and welcome to the Data Culture Podcast, Wolfgang and Simeon from Bosch. It's really great to have you here.
I'm very glad too. I'm really happy to share our data journey at Bosch today and really happy to be in this round.
Thanks a lot, Carsten. Really looking forward to our talk today. And I'm really excited to also share with you some of our insights that we gained on the way, on the journey that you have already mentioned.
Absolutely. We talked a little bit up front, and you are on this journey from data chaos to an ordered world where data has its place. Everyone knows what there is and so on. So let's talk about this journey. I think it's super interesting. First of all, maybe could you give us an overview? What is this journey? Where did it start? And where are you on the journey?
Maybe let me just start, and then Simeon, maybe you just continue the journey. I mean, when I joined Bosch, there were two things. First of all, we were all in silos, data silos. I mean, we were all thinking really in specific domains, and mainly we were driven by the business units, by our different entities like mobility or power tools or automotive aftermarket. And everyone was having his or her own data silo. It was also the times of the SAP business warehouse systems. Everyone or every region, every business unit, they had their own system and just focused on their own stuff. And this was good for them because it was stable. They could do their monthly reporting and so on. But on the other hand, this was very much siloed. This was not flexible at all. And besides those silos, there were a lot of other things going on. So it felt like everyone had his or her own database under his or her desk and just doing their own data stuff, not being aware about the others, not really knowing where to get the data from. And I mean, as a result, everyone was busy with getting data from somewhere, putting it in his own data silo, and then doing some data stuff, not knowing what others are doing. Maybe others were doing the same stuff just next door or in a different entity. And basically, of course, this was not efficient at all, and transparency was missing. and we were duplicating data so many times. This was really crazy times. I think that was the time when Simeon stepped in, and maybe Simeon, you could just continue.
Yes, of course. Thanks a lot. So basically, the interesting part is that this journey kind of fits perfectly to also my career at Bosch, because as Wolfgang mentioned, I joined as a SAP BW consultant. And then kind of to overcome this intransparency and all the chaos that we have, we started with a data lake approach. And I think as many other big companies, we were successful to a certain extent. And of course, you kind of get to know a lot of things also about technology, but also your company, about data governance, about but also about scalability. And at some point, we just simply faced the problem that we as a central technology provider for whole Bosch could not scale fast enough by our capacity to keep up with the hunger for data that our customers have. And I think this was like a turning point also for us. And we said, yes, what's the next step from a data lake approach? And of course, then data mesh came up, luckily. And since then, we are building up a data mesh approach for overall Bosch, which of course is quite a task, I would say, because of the huge size of the company and also the complexity that comes along with it.
What is kind of interesting in that story is that just by observing the technologies that you use, that you came from a siloed, certainly, but a very structured way of looking at data in BW, and then shifted to a way where you have like all the freedoms of a data lake and can do whatever you want with the data, which in some cases certainly ends up in a kind of a swamp if you don't do it right. And then went back to like a very domain-oriented approach, which is data mesh. Is that just because, so to speak, that there was the trend to do that and it was like a good way to do it for you? Or is there something that reflects maybe also the journey a little bit?
I think it's a little bit of both of them. And basically, it started with a demand coming from central logistics and central finance. And basically, both of them had the requirement, first of all, to have all the finance or all the logistics data from all the business units in one place to get the overall view on supply chain or on their financials. This basically was a need which we could not fulfill with SAP BW systems. And I think this was more or less simultaneously. So we started to build it up with a data lake approach. And then obviously, as Simeon said, at a certain extent, it was great, but we were running into scaling issues. And then this was the time when the mesh approach came up and we had a lot of interaction with our corporate data architects and data management teams. And then discussing with them and then basically bringing in the trend from the market, but then also defining for us, what does it mean for Bosch? So implementing a mesh and basically coming to a point where, yeah, it's all, I mean, of course it needs a technology foundation, but it's more over a kind of organizational impact. That we need to, basically, we have to change the mindset of some people in the organization dealing with data to incorporate this domain thinking, right? And the data sharing approach.
Absolutely. So welcome to the Data Culture Podcast. That's exactly what we see all over the place and everywhere. So that makes a lot of sense. Before we dive a little bit deeper into the different aspects of a mesh, I would be interested in the drivers behind it. You mentioned siloed, lack of accessibility of data, lack of transparency. But on the other hand, sometimes people like silos, yeah? Because they don't have to align with others, they can keep their data. So
How did you manage in a way to get this all started? Is there, let's say, a clear commitment, for example, to accessibility, transparency of data in the business strategy? Or is there a clear need, or was there a compelling event? Something happened where everyone said, okay, we cannot go on like that. So how did you get the momentum for this journey?
To be honest, I think it was more of like a process. As well, I can't really remember the one event where we said, okay, now we have to change everything. And but it's more like when you are discussing with our counterparts on the business side, what are your needs, what are your requirements? These obviously change over time. And we heard a lot more about, we need to be faster, we need to be more flexible. And I think this obviously becomes more important than ever now in the difficult times that we're in. And there we saw that that the data lake approach does not really fit to these requirements anymore. And also from a technology perspective, we have to evolve ourselves from this centric data lake approach more into a data fabric that gives our customers and the respective teams a maximum of flexibility and speed. Because at the end of the day, only if our business is successful, we as IT can be successful too. And I think these joint forces and having these close discussions with the customers, which are not always easy, to be honest, but I think this is really key to success, and also convincing people to kind of look in the same direction. I would say that this really took a couple of years now, because in such a big company, there are a lot of different views on different things. And of course, everybody has always the best intention to bring the company forward. But I would say that it's only discussions and only the common way forward that is helping us. But maybe, Wolfgang, you can also add a little bit from your perspective.
Yeah, during this journey, sometimes I was really wishing for just a top-down decision and then we just implement it. But typically, that's not how Bosch works. I mean, the business units, they have a lot of autonomy. I mean, they are responsible to drive their business, and basically in that area, they are free to decide how they achieve their targets. And so it was more like convincing. And Simeon had plenty of talks with the stakeholders in the business units, me as well. And then bringing the ideas coming from corporate, from architecture, technology, IT provider view, and bring this together with the business unit view, and getting the commitment that, working together in this rather federated approach makes more sense for all of us. I mean, this really took a while. But at the end, I'm convinced it's a more sustainable approach.
Did AI play a role? Was that a driver?
I would say yes. And especially now, the hype in the last couple of years about GenAI was really a booster for us. And because also the C-level management realized probably again how important data is, because if you do not handle your data properly, it's just trash in, trash out, and you don't get much of gains from AI or GenAI. And also when it comes to topics like governance and giving data a business background, I mean, this is probably obvious to all of us guys who are working in data environment for a couple of years now, but approaching this and giving data business a background and giving also GenAI a background to interpret data, I think this is the key to success at the moment. And obviously here the data product is in the very center of what we're doing, and establishing a common sense on what is a data product, how should we handle it, and maybe also what is not a data product. I think this is probably a discussion that is going on in many companies, and we did not want to miss that out, of course. So this is, I think, one of the key discussions that we are currently having.
I was just waiting for that kind of keyword on their products, because I think it's just so well matching for what you're planning and what you're having in mind. So a lot of people have like a lot of ideas what data products could be right now and what not. And certainly two directions are to see it a bit more from the value perspective and the other one a bit more from the technical standardization perspective. I don't want to be too prescriptive, but is there anything specifically about data products you're thinking about? How you're thinking on this kind of concept? What is like the most valuable part for you of this concept on this journey? That would be interesting for me.
I mean, we were starting to talk about data products and how important they are from our point of view. And I felt most of them did not really understand the purpose and the value add of a data product. They said, yeah, that's something IT driven and it's something about standardization. Why do we need that? And why do we need data products? I mean, we can just use the AI and the AI will do everything and just give the answers to all our questions. And I felt then some time back, and that's not too far in the past, it really did a change in the organization and in the perception of the value of how important it is to have quality data products in the organization as the foundation for AI. Because, I mean, if you just feed the AI with just raw data, I mean, how should the AI do the interpretation of the data? That's when the organization started to understand that, hey, the data products are something that brings semantic information to data. And that's then the foundation that the AI can do their job. I think this was the momentum where the importance of data products and having a data marketplace really changed dramatically.
So in my personal opinion, I think it's probably both. Of course, you need that business value, because only if you have business value, people will implement it and will take care about, you know, get your data product, because everybody, of course, sees there is an investment needed for me to build a data product. So what is the return of invest for me? And I think this is a really key question that you have to answer if you want to push data products in a data marketplace. And then, of course, like spreading the whole topic in the organization. For me, personally, I think you have to be a bit pragmatic if you approach data products, because of course you can spend hours and days of discussing like what attributes, which of them is mandatory, which of them is optional, what kind of, you know, characteristics should it have. And for me, what worked best is first approaching it with like more like a gut feeling and saying, okay, probably the cost center or the customer is like a view on data that everybody needs. So let's have a look at this. Let's publish it. Let's look how it works. Let's bring it to a marketplace and give it a transparency. And then, of course, you need also this more scientific approach, defining on company level what attributes it has and so on. But I think for me, it's more like a phased thing. And you need these early adopters to get it running in an organization. I think that for us, like a data marketplace was like a key turning point, because it gives transparency what is already there. And for us, at least, it also worked out pretty well that we did not start with like the most complicated marketplace ever, but just like a simple web application where you have tiles with the data products where you can click on. And then taking also the data domains and on a journey with us and developing further from there. And at the moment, we are looking not only on the marketplace itself, but also like on a lot of other topics around data products, like data policies, carrying all the regulatory information that is needed, which become more important than ever. A completely new data catalog strategy, because in my opinion, also data products change the way how we think about data assets and data catalogs and the whole like foundation for data products, I would say. And then, of course, integrating it more deeply in our enterprise IT and also the business processes. I think these are the next steps that we are currently working on with, I would say, quite a high pressure. because the business needs it.
Mm-hmm. Could you elaborate a little bit further what you mean with the relationship between data catalog that changed? So data product, data catalog, metadata, marketplace. Obviously, that's all intertwined in a way, but super interesting to hear the effects on the data catalog maybe.
From my perspective, the interesting part is if you want to approach a data product, and I think it's quite easy to argue why you should look into data products, all the usability, transparency, you can have governance. But then the next step is, of course, what do I need to build a data product? And there you come to data assets, and you come to the question, who owns these data assets? And what is this data asset all about? And I think it's quite obvious that if your data catalog is not maintained well, and you just have maybe the technical SAP table name there, it's pretty tough from there to start to build a data product. But if it's well maintained and you have a description there, if you know who owns the data, maybe there is also a data steward already maintained who has a deep expertise in what this table means, I think it's much easier to build up a valuable data product and a high quality data product. And so I think for us, the shift is really that it's not enough to just have a simple data catalog as a standalone application, but it's more like an environment or out of a data catalog linked closely to a marketplace and also linked closely to this regulatory information, like what are you allowed to do with the data and what are you not allowed to do with the data, together on one platform.
And I think that's really currently the change. Like Simon, you mentioned before that we had a data catalog or several data catalogs for each technology platform. We had a data marketplace with some data products, and maybe somewhere else we had some systems to define who has access to which data. Now bringing these three components very close together, making them as an integrated system, and just seeing this from a holistic view, I think this is the biggest value add in this area. And this gives us a lot of transparency. So which data is where, which data products are available, and they are based on which of the data assets, and who's responsible. I mean, who's responsible to keep the data product up to date? Who's responsible to ensure a certain quality level for the data assets? And then at the end, who should get access to which part of the data, and what is he or her allowed to do with that? I think this adds a lot of value, and I think this is now more and more understood in the organization.
Maybe it's time again to zoom out a little bit after talking about the interesting details of how you made the progress both on the organizational part and on the technical part. So when we talk about data products, we just had a survey which we published 2 weeks ago, and we found out that those that establish data products company-wide are much further ahead in terms of their agentic AI and also other AI projects. Is that maybe, putting it as a question, also a way how to bring forward and incentivize data owners to think about data products and put their investments in there? And do you maybe have also other already positive returns in terms of this journey you're on?
I would say what you have just mentioned, like using data products for GenAI, is probably the most tangible return that we see at the moment. And I think the best example is probably Talk to Data, where, of course, like if you have data products which are kind of standardized in their technical implementation, but also in their metadata, like the business description, of course, this is a very good foundation of applying Talk to Data, not only on a single data product, but also to be able to scale it, which is then obviously more in our focus. So at the moment, our idea is to be to say, let's apply this Talk to Data already in the data marketplace itself, so that people can go to the data marketplace, find the data product or the business insights that they're looking for, and let them already there start to talk to the data. For me, actually, this is kind of a milestone when it comes to data and data analytics, because in previous times, you always needed some kind of IT expertise to, you know, build a Power BI dashboard or write a SQL statement to kind of get the data and derive decisions from there. And now we open up the whole world of data to basically everybody who is able to type something into a chat. And I mean, that's obviously everybody in such a big company. And this kind of gives a scales data like for every employee in the company. And I think that's really big. So I'm really looking forward to what we will be seeing there. And also if we look at the market and how fast it develops, I think it's really good to invest into it now and kind of make it available for everybody.
Absolutely. Maybe you can share a little bit of numbers. How many data products are on that marketplace, and maybe which domain has the most, and how many users do you have?
So overall, I think it's we have to give a little bit of background of how we are organized, because it's not everything at Bosch is organized in data domains. And so, of course, we have a governance when it comes to processes and therefore data domains. But also, as Wolfgang has mentioned earlier, the GBs, where at the end of the day the money is made, are, of course, also one other dimension. So at the moment, we have around 60 to 70 data products in there. And some of them are, of course, I would say company master data. I mentioned the cost center, for example, earlier, which is important that everybody can use it and doesn't have to start from scratch to build it up. But there's also different GBs. They are, of course, also on a journey when it comes to data products. And some of them are a little further. Some of them are maybe have to catch up a little bit in the future again. But we definitely have our front runners, and there it's really great to see how fast development was from like the initial discussions until publishing 20-25 data products. So this is why, as I said, overall 60-70 around that. Number of users at the moment is still a bit tough question to answer, because of we don't always see like how often these data products are then used further. So of course we provide it, then it might be used from other technological platforms, which also then again have like a lot of end users. So that's really a tough question to answer at the moment.
But maybe we can do some research until we talk again.
Let's do that. One other question that often comes up, yeah, you separate basically the effort to create the data product from the usage, yeah, where often the value and benefits are created. And some organizations started now to think about maybe like a billing structure or how to basically reimburse the effort that the producers of data products basically have. Yeah. And then I recently had a discussion, or we had in the podcast, yeah, we had Fiona Kambeis from Siemens, and she said, well, it's not a problem, yeah, because we have a top-down decision that data products have to be implemented, yeah, and no one is asking about reimbursement. So how is it at Bosch? You mentioned a very decentralized company. Is that the discussion you have, or is it just, is everyone happy to share data and put in the effort to produce data products?
This discussion definitely we have, and we had several requests. Hey, can we add the price tag for the usage of a data product, and so that the one who is providing a data product can make profit with it? But basically, we decided for now, say, hey, sharing data and making data available to others, this should be for free. So to foster the usage of the data as much as we can. And in addition, I have to say, I mean, Bosch is a complex company worldwide with many different legal entities. And when we started to discuss about this also with some corporate departments, I mean, first questions came regarding tax relevance, transfer prices, etc. So we said, no, let's keep it for free to boost the usage of data products. And at the end, I mean, if we think it further, I mean, Simon mentioned currently it's, I mean, a prompt is integrated in our data marketplace so that everyone can just enter some questions there and then get answers based on the data product and then the underlying data. We have some kind of Bosch internal ChatGPT, which is used across the whole company. Basically, the next step we are going now is to connect our data ecosystem and the GenAI agents, which are able to interpret the data products and then also have access to the underlying data. I mean, to connect both of them so that at the end, any Bosch user worldwide can just use the, let's call it Bosch internal ChatGPT, and then ask the questions from there. And whenever it's a data-related questions, then it's connected to our data ecosystem and then to the data marketplace, to the data products, and to the underlying data. And I think this will boost the usage of data products and even multiply the benefits which we are providing. But then, I mean, if you start talking about charging the usage of data product, it gets even more complex. We said, no, let's not do that. Let's continue. And most of the data providers are really proud to share data products and to make data available for others as well.
So I think maybe to add two aspects to it, because at the end of the day, our mind is quite simple. And the question every time you want to use data, you will be charged. I'm not sure if that's not contradicting to, you know, the idea of that you want to share data and the initial idea of a data product itself. If you look at our organization, we would probably charge, from left to right, right to left. At the end of the day, it's one company. And probably at the end of the day, everybody brings in some data products, everybody consumes data products. So I would guess that overall, it would balance out quite nicely. And then, of course, the question is always how much of organizational overhead do you really want to bring into it? And shouldn't it be, and Wolfgang mentioned that in this example quite nicely, shouldn't it be just fun that you consume data and that you derive business insights out of it by just, you know, being able to chat to it, not thinking about how much my customer will be charged for it. So overall, I think, at least for us, it's the right way more to go in the direction of being proud to share data products and not adding additional complexity to it.
That already paths perfectly the way to looking into the next steps, how things are continuing at Bosch. So Wolfgang, Simon, we are really happy to have you at Data Festival in June in Munich as speakers on our stage, where you dive a little deeper into especially the data product parts of it and how you make them available for GenAI. What are your next steps, both on the sides of developing your organization, bring more commitment to ownership, maybe also on the technical side? What do you think is on your roadmap right now?
What we will definitely show is more details about how our data mesh approach look like and how we kind of also adapted some aspects of it to our, I would say, to the reality that we face in our everyday life. And of course, also in addition, like our journey that is also more going to the cloud, I think as many other companies as well. And it's really amazing to see the very fast development. Sometimes it's also a bit terrifying, to be honest. But, you know, all the new capabilities, all new functionalities that come up there. And I think it's really important to think ahead how you want to approach this, especially from a technological perspective. And of course, what we are heavily looking into is like how we can apply GenAI. I mean, we talked about a lot now about how our end users can use GenAI, but of course also how can we optimize ourselves, our data fabric, using agents and applying it on a bigger scale. Because from my perspective, this is where a lot of efficiency gains come from.
Yeah, I think you covered it already very well. Maybe just to add one aspect to it. I mean, our vision is maximize the value of data for Bosch. And so far, Simon and me, we are mostly looking on the commercial data part. And basically, the next step is also to think data in a broader view. So, I mean, there's also data coming from the shop floors. So all this kind of manufacturing data and machine data. And there's also a lot of IoT data from devices, e-bikes, etc. In addition, there's also engineering data. And so the thing is to take our framework, our concept, the Bosch Data Fabric approach, and then see how we can extend it to other data types as well, and making the access to data as easy as possible. Of course, always keeping compliance and data security, data protection in mind, that's for sure. But making the access to data as easy as possible, and not only for those users who are familiar with Power BI and Tableau and all the other tools, but also for those who are just able to type their question into a prompt, or even just having an app on their mobile phone while being on the way to our customers, then just asking questions. Hey, can you please tell me the turnover of the customer where I'm just driving to from the last month? Which are the most important products? And please propose me some strategy, which kind of discounts I should give to this customer to increase my contribution margin, right?
Excellent. That sounds really exciting. So good luck on your journey. I'm really looking forward to seeing you in June at the Data Festival and hearing more about your journey from data chaos to accessible, transparent data. See you there. Bye-bye.
Thank you much. Seeing you in Munich. Looking forward to it.
Thanks for having us. Bye.